I'm so glad to be here this morning and get to share with you about what God has laid on my heart and really get to continue in worship with you through the reading of God's Word and the breaking apart of God's Word and the digesting of His Word this morning. Kayla, thank you so much for preaching my sermon for me already. Everything you said, the last service and the service before, or the service and this service, as I was like, well, Kayla just preached my sermon, so I guess we're good to go. So if you don't listen to anything I said, hopefully you listen to what Kayla said, and then you're solid after that. So that's great. That's cool how God works that way. You might notice that I'm not Shane, and you might tell that by the beard or the amazing guy he is. So I'm not Shane. I'm Mark. I get to sit under Shane this year and get to serve with you guys. Really, I want to say thank you to this church for allowing me and my wife to come and be part of this church. We moved here, really felt called to ministry. So we're working with church planning, working with collegiate ministry on campus at CCU Pueblo. We came here knowing nobody and nothing. So thank you for loving us. When we came here and moved here, we needed friends, we needed church family. You became that for us. You loved us. And thank you for doing that. When we got pregnant, you've been loving us through that and encouraging us, and it's been a blessing to be part of this family. So I want to thank you for that. Today, we are going to go through one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I've become more and more fond of it as I've studied it and I memorized it. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. So if you have your Bible today, then go ahead and open there to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll have the verses on the screen as well, in case you didn't bring your Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 19 through verse 25. This passage is a difficult passage for me to preach, in one sense, because this passage is talking to the people who have... talking to people who have struggled in their life and are at a point where they are ready to let go of their walk with God. They're ready to turn away from the church, turn away from the body of believers. They're ready to do that. And this is a passage encouraging them not to keep going, to keep fighting, to stay in tune. That's actually what the book of Hebrews, one of the themes of it, is there's these people that they see that living a life, the world deciding not to stand up to maybe to your boss because it's the right thing to do. This is how God will want me to live. Man, it's hard sometimes. Maybe it's hard suffering through a death in your family or suffering through sickness or illness. Maybe being persecuted. These people back then and us today, we struggle with this Christian life because it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing, easy life to live. And so a lot of times it is easy to instead of getting hit by the river over and over again and trying to go upstream, just to let go and to fall wherever the river would take you. Sometimes it's easier to do that, to give into the world and to what God calls us, how God calls us now not to live and to live the wrong way. So today I want to be encouragement to you. Also want to challenge you while we're reading through this passage. So let's go ahead and read Hebrews 10:19-25. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Will you pray with me as we go before the Lord and explore this passage? God, I just ask for your grace. And you know, in my heart, it's easy to get wrapped up maybe in what people think rather than just thinking what you think and worshiping you through the word. God, I just pray that I would become less, you would become more. God, I just pray as a congregation, we would die to ourselves and we would say, yes, Lord, to you, whatever you call us to. God, I pray that you would speak clearly today through your word and you would make it clear to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is hard sometimes as a Christian to continue walking, to hold strong to the faith. That's what we'll be talking about today. There's a picture I kind of want to just paint for you. So you might be thinking, why is he wearing those weird shoes? They're not fancy shoes. I don't know if you can see them. Everybody was looking. They're not fancy shoes. These are my hiking shoes. Actually, they're really comfortable. I don't know why I don't wear them more. They're really comfortable shoes. I love to hike in them. But the reason I wore them, kind of gives analogy, launching point, is that in this passage, I want us to think about maybe not a hiker, but a climber. And when you climb a mountain, you climb a cliff, you have to do something important in order not to die. And that's one, you don't fall. But maybe you slip, and there's something important you need, and that's a rope and being harnessed into a rope, right? Being harnessed into something that you don't fall from. So you don't fall and fall to your death, even if your foot slips, even if you let go, you'll have something holding you when you're climbing that mountain, or climbing that cliff. And we want to look at that today, because when we're facing the struggles of life, we're going to be blown around, we're going to get tired, and we're going to want to fall. But it's really important that sometimes the most important thing is not just the string that you're tied to, the rope that you're tied to, it is the anchor that the rope is tied to, right? If that anchor is weak, then when the wind starts blowing, when you put all your weight on it, if it snaps, if it breaks and lets loose, you're in trouble, right? You're falling to your death. That's not good. So today, we're going to start at that point. This is the picture that we're starting at. We need an anchor. We need an anchor to hold on to in order for us to make it to the end. And in Hebrews, the writer talks about that anchor in the first couple passages, the first couple verses. And let's look at that real quick. So 19 through 21. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. So we do come to this verse with a significant disadvantage. Just because this book was written to the Hebrew people, the Hebrew Christians, we are not Hebrew, we're not Jewish. If I would say the majority of us are what the Bible calls Gentiles, that means not Jewish. So that's who we are. That's our background. We don't know the background. We don't know how it feels to go to what the Jewish people would do and go to the tabernacle of God and go sacrifice an animal on your behalf. Or if you sin, that's what you would do. We don't know how that feels. It's kind of weird to us. It's a different world than we're used to living in. But in order to see the picture that this painting, we need to know kind of what they felt, what they went through when those things were happening. So we do come to a disadvantage, but we'll all help paint a picture so we can have a better understanding. So at verse 19, it says, verse 19 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. So this is the picture. We need to see this. We need to see this picture in order for us to grasp this idea. This picture of the holy place. So we're entering this holy place. And what the holy place was is where God dwelt. Before he dwelt in us, before Jesus, he dwelt in like a tent, like a building, right? He dwelt in this place, and no one was allowed to go there except for the priests, really once a year, when they made a sacrifice on their behalf from an animal. No one was allowed to enter this holy place. But when we read here, it says that they enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. So this is a picture. The priest who was chosen that year, they would sacrifice an animal. That animal would be sacrificed on the behalf of the priest, and the priest would go on the behalf of the people, and he would enter the holy place of God. But the only way he was able to enter was because there was a sacrifice. And why did he need a sacrifice? Well, because we are evil people. Because we're messed up people. We've done wrong things. Whether it's something you did yesterday, this week, maybe in your past, we've done wrong things. And we are guilty. We are not able to come before a holy God. But in this picture, it's painting saying the priest would go before this holy God. And he would do it because he would sacrifice an animal. But in our picture, we have a greater sacrifice. And this sacrifice is the blood of Jesus, the only Son of God. He didn't just sacrifice for a priest, but he sacrificed for us. So it says that you can enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. So that might be something really weird. You're like, curtain, and then that's his flesh? What are we talking about here? So this is the picture. So when he would enter into the holy place, so imagine this tent, and there's this really heavy curtain, and behind it is the holy place. But when he would go in there, before he would sacrifice the animal, and they would sacrifice the animal, he would be pure because he would be the one that his blood would be covered because he sacrificed the animal. And he would enter and open this curtain and go into this holy place. And only he could go in, because if anybody else did, they would just drop down and die. So he would enter into this holy place. And what the verse is telling us is that that for us, this curtain is now torn. We have access to God because we enter through the flesh of God. So that might sound weird, but we enter because Jesus has died in our place. And now we are covered by his blood. And when we enter, the beautiful thing is that God no longer sees what you did yesterday. He no longer sees maybe what you did today that you feel guilty for, or shame for. He no longer sees your sin, but now he sees his Son because you have passed through this curtain of his Son. Let me say that again. God no longer sees your sin, but now he sees his Son. So, where does that bring us to our status before God? It doesn't matter how you treated your coworkers when it comes for you standing before God. It doesn't matter how you treated your family, maybe even what you did last night. It doesn't matter. Because God does not see your sin now, but he sees your Son. And this is the anchor that we need to know and hold on to firmly. This is our foundation for today, is that we must embrace the salvation of God. It's just our first step, but we have to have that. Because today, we're going to have this foundation, and then we're going to have three applications, and then we're going to have an action for us at the end. And our foundation is key for understanding the rest that we are held on to, not by what we did. We're held on in our life to eternal glory by what God has done. So that's our foundation. Embrace the salvation of God. And maybe there's some here today that haven't done that, and I'll just encourage you to ponder that and make a choice maybe to start to embrace the gift of God that he's freely given, so that God would no longer see your sin, but that he would see his Son. All right, so I love that part. So we laid a foundation about that, but we need to keep going. So in verse 22, we're going to look at our second point. And our second point, so this is our act. This is our application to our foundation. And it is to draw near to God. Hebrews 10:22 says this: "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." So this idea that we are clean, we are cleansed, now we can come before God, but God doesn't want us just to come before God, and just to know God, but God, this passage calls us to draw near to God, to come close to God, to come and know him in an intimate way. And it paints us a good picture of this. And actually, there's a passage I want us to read through that kind of paints a really good picture of this in Isaiah. So let's, if you guys have your Bible and you can, turn to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to look at chapter 6. So the book of Isaiah is written by the prophet of Isaiah, and a lot of it is just about this prophet. In the chapter 6, we're walking into a vision, a dream that Isaiah is having. Now, this is not a dream that maybe you have, and like my dreams, like a lot of times they're, I can kind of change them. I don't know if you have that experience. I kind of change your dreams, but this is a dream in the sense that it's reality to Isaiah. It's God giving Isaiah a dream, a vision that's reality. And it's not something he can change or manipulate. It's something that's happening. So imagine that this is happening. And his dream puts him in the throne room of God. So we're going to read this passage of him being in the throne room of God. So let's start in verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called the other and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe,'" this is Isaiah, "'woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" So I just want you to picture this. This is what's happening in Isaiah's vision. He has come before the throne of God. And when he sees God, he sees him filling the entire place. His glory has filled everywhere. And then there's angels, and these angels are singing praises to God, but they will not look at him because they will not look at the glory of God. And they will not show their feet because they will not shame the glory of God. But they're singing praises, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." They're looking at the glory of God. Isaiah is staring at it, and he says, "I am in the wrong place." Woe is not like, "Whoa, this is cool, man." Like, it's California talk, I don't know. But he's saying, "Whoa, and I am doomed. I am not supposed to be here. I will die. I will melt away in this presence, because I am not supposed to be here in the presence of God." When we draw near to God, for our first application, when we draw near to God, we need to remember who this God is. He is not a God sitting in heaven who doesn't care about the world. Nor is he a God who doesn't have any power or any authority. He is a God, when he speaks, the earth shakes. He is a God that the angels in glory do not even look at him because of his power. He is a God that created every one of us. But he's also a God who cares for us. When we draw near to God, we must remember who this God is. But the great news is that we have this foundation we just laid. There's something that we're tied into, that we're hooked into, and that is the salvation of our lives through Jesus Christ. Because we have been cleansed by God. Even in this verse, it says we have a full assurance of our faith, and our hearts are sprinkled clean from evil conscience of our bodies and washed with pure water. When we come before God, we must realize who he is, but we also must realize what God has done. Look at Isaiah. If you haven't turned, hopefully you haven't turned from there, but in Isaiah verses 6 and 7, it kind of gives us the end of this picture. So Isaiah comes before God, and he's like, "Man, I'm done for. I have no hope in this area, because I came before God, and I'm an evil person, and I'm from an evil land, an evil people." And he comes before God, and Isaiah, the end of the verse, end of that part, says this in verse 6. It says, "One of the seraphim flew to me, and having in his hand a burning coal that he might have taken with tongs from the altar, he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." So in the same way, an angel comes and he burns his lips and it atones for his sin. In the same way, Jesus, when he died and was crucified and rose again, he atoned, he took our place for our sin. And so now we can, just like in the passage of Isaiah, we can come before an awesome and holy God because we have been saved from our sin. So when God looks at us, he doesn't look at us at our sin anymore. He doesn't look, "Oh man, this is a terrible person." But he looks at his son, says, "I love you. I can accept you because my son has covered your sin." When we draw near to God, we must remember what he has done. And when we draw near to God, we must come before him with an open and honest heart. If you flip back with me to Hebrews, in that verse, it's pretty clear. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Well, when we come before God, we have to remember who he is and remember what he's done. But we need to come before God with an open and honest heart. I know sometimes for me that is really difficult, because sometimes there's things in my life that I am not proud of, and I don't want God to see, though God sees everything. I don't want him to know. There's times where I don't treat my wife right. There's times I don't treat my friends right. There's times when we feel ashamed of what we've done. But we must come before God with an open and honest heart, saying, "God, this is my life. I'm sorry for what I've done. Would you cleanse me?" We must come before God with an open and honest heart. I would challenge you, after reading this scripture, to ponder and meditate. God, is there something in my life that is not given to you, that is not open to you? And is there something I want to change? Because for us to come and draw close to God, we have to allow God to purify, to singe our lips, to cleanse us, or we're not able to draw near to God. All right, so that is our first application. Let's go to verse 23. And I really like this one, though it's really challenging to me. It says this, verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." I have a hard time talking about this verse because, as I guess a minister or hearing people's lives, we as a minister, you have to share, man, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Sometimes it's hard because people are going through some hard things that I have never experienced. And that is difficult to relate and say, have faith in God. I meet with students and I hear their life story, their background. Man, that is so hard, and how their family had treated them, the people they've grown up around, the society they grew up around. Man, that is hard. People who lose people in their life, I mean, sometimes it's just difficult because a lot of times you don't know exactly what they're going through. It's hard to say that. But the way, how can a minister say that? How can you say that to someone else? Hey, have faith in God is this one key. To hold fast to the hope is because God is faithful. I don't say have faith in God because I know everything will turn out for good, but I say it because I know God is faithful and you can put your hope in him. God is faithful. Why don't you guys say that with me real quick? Say, God is faithful. God is faithful. The believers here in Hebrews, they were also experiencing tribulations and struggles. This book was written because they were being persecuted, and it was easier for them just to let go of the rope and just to fall, or let the wind just take them where it would, or like in a river, if you're trying to walk up the river, I mean, you're like, this is so hard, I'm just going to let go and let the river take me wherever it wants. That's where these people were. Maybe that's where you are today. You feel tired, worn out, and you need something to hold on to. And that's what this book was, this was written to. This past February, I lost three important people in my life. I lost two grandparents, one on my mom's side, one on my side. The one on my side was actually my namesake. My middle name is named after him. So I lost two there, and then I was okay with them being gone because their grandparents are older. It's time for them to go. They were suffering, and it was good for them to go. But I did have a really hard time with the third one, and that was my friend Chris. And my friend Chris, I actually went to college with. I did ministry with him. He's a great man. He taught me how to cook steak in a dorm room. I know you're probably not supposed to do that, but that's what we did. We cooked steak in a dorm room. He taught me how to play video games, but not just to play video games, but play video games to invite in freshmen who were coming in so we could have a ministry with them. So we played video games all the time. We had to keep our door open all the time. People would come in. This was all Chris's plan, and he showed us how to do this. He showed me how to love people and have joy. I love Chris, and I really miss Chris. And Chris was actually one of our supporters when we were raising our funds. He's actually a guy who gave to us, and he's actually one of the reasons I even came out to Pueblo is because of his encouragement to come out here. And Chris, I actually got to call Chris, I think it was like 2 days before he passed away. Because we had just found out we were pregnant like a month before. We had been waiting to tell people, and we're like, okay, we need to start telling people because we're going to post on Facebook and everybody will know. So we need to start telling people. And so I called Chris. I was like, hey, man, how's it going? And he's just telling me his life and what was going on. Things seemed like they were going really good. And I just got to share with him that we were pregnant, and he was just really excited for us. Then 2 days later, he passed away. I really had a hard time losing Chris. Had a hard time mourning him and missing a friend. But I realized when I lost Chris, I realized an awesome thing. I realized I had a peace about where Chris was. I had no doubt where Chris was and that God was faithful to bring Chris to him. I had no doubt. I had no doubt that God was and is faithful. He is a God who will fulfill his promises. He is faithful. When we look at this passage, we see people who are starting to wander. They're on that rope, on that wall, and they're getting ready to let go because it is hard. And maybe it's hard for you. But I want you to ponder this and know this verse, that God is faithful to fulfill his promises. He is faithful to the very end. Hold on tight and hold fast. All right, so for our third application and the last two verses. The last two verses say this. Let us hold fast. Oh, sorry, I'm reading not that verse. Okay, so verse 24, sorry. And let us consider how to stir one another toward love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. So our last point is to consider others. To consider others. So we need to look at this word consider, because I was like, man, what does this word even mean? So it doesn't mean consider whether you will get a burger or a taco after this. That's not what it means. So consider means to focus and dwell upon. So to focus and dwell upon, and even to know. So you might not know what the person next to you today wants for lunch, right? You might not know what would please their stomach after this for lunchtime. But there might be someone in the room that you know always what they want to eat. My wife is a wonderful wife, and I always know what she wants to eat. because she always, I mean, her favorite thing on the list is always pizza. So I know if I got pizza for her, she would be happy. It doesn't matter, I think, what meal or at what time of the day, she would be she would be happy about it. And I love it. But I know that because I've considered her, I've spent time with her, I've invested my life into her, and so I know what she would want. Do you know the person maybe next to you or every person on your pew? What? Do you know them enough that you would know that? So considering is not just having an option or making a choice, but it's dwelling upon and focusing. But it's not considering for lunch today. So that's not what the passage is talking about. It's not considering for lunch today, but it says, let us consider how to stir one another toward love and good works. I love this word, stir. I don't know what it says up there. There it is. Okay. I love this word, stir, because it's that idea of provoking someone, right? Idea of provoking someone. I grew up in a large family. I would say large. I grew up in a large family. I have 8 siblings. I have 4 that are younger than me and 4 that are older than me. So I'm right in the middle. And I grew up with all of my siblings. Some of the older ones didn't know the younger ones in the house because they're just the time gap. But I knew everybody. And I was really good at provoking people. It's not a good provoking, right? I was really good at getting people irritated. Get them to fight each other or to get in trouble and then get in trouble with parents, right? I knew the right snacks to take away from to hide or take away from my siblings. I knew the right buttons to push on my brother to make him flip out and just get in really big trouble with my parents. I was really good at that. But that's not what this passage is talking about, because it's talking about poking someone, but poking someone towards good works and love. Towards good works and love. I really like that picture, just because it happened to me this week. Our friends came in from Oklahoma this week. They were traveling through. They're actually looking at planting a church in northern Colorado. And they came through town, and we went to Bingo Burger, and then we went to Nick's Dairy Cream. I don't know, do you guys like Nick's Dairy Cream? I love that place. Okay, approval. Yes, I love Nick's Dairy Cream, and I'm always upset because it's not open. It's only open during the summer. So any other part of the year, I'm just upset that I can't go to Nick's Dairy Cream. But I love Nick's Dairy Cream. So we went to Bingo Burger and Nick's Dairy Cream. It was a really good time, encouraging time for us, me and my wife. And so we went to Bingo Burger, and we had a server there. And I love that place. We had a server there. And I was talking to our friends, and I was complaining because I felt like God wanted to be more intentional in praying for my servers, because I really haven't done that a lot. I was just telling them, I feel like God wants me to do that. And I'm just really discouraged. Because most of the time when I do it, people are like, nah, I don't need prayer. Or they give me something really vague. It's like, yeah, pray, just, I don't know, pray for something really vague in my life. And I'm like, come on, guys, give me something I can pray for. Give me something in your life. Like, not everybody's life is perfect. Actually, most of our lives are in shambles most of the time, right? There's something to pray for. So I was just telling them, man, every time I do it, it's not really a good success. But I was just kind of encouraged, and I told them about this. I was like, well, I'll try again. So the server came, delivered our burgers, and I asked him, well, is there anything I pray for you about? Man, this guy really opened up his heart. He didn't share the darkest secrets of his life, but he opened up his heart to us and asked us to pray for some things specific in his life, and I was really encouraged. I was like, man, this is cool. This just happened. That's awesome. So we got to pray for him. And I would have left it there. And I was okay with leaving that conversation and that relationship there, just praying for him, being done. He actually brought me out a shake later, an ice cream shake for free. That was cool. So I was okay with leaving it there. But one of our friends from out of town, she was like, Mark, I really think you have a connection with this guy. You should try to meet up with him and follow up with him later and maybe talk about him, where he is with God, and see if you can encourage him. And I was like, maybe it crossed my mind, but it wasn't on my agenda to do that that day. But because our friend mentioned it, I was like, you know, that's a good idea. I should do that. And so I ended up doing that and getting this guy's information, and then we're going to plan on hopefully meeting up next week to follow up and just see how I can maybe minister to his life. But I would have not done that unless my friend was there, unless our friend was there and they said something. I would have not. It just wasn't on my agenda, wasn't on my plan. But they poked me, they encouraged me in the right direction to do a good work and to show love. And sometimes this encouragement is not just, hey, go and do love. Sometimes it's an encouragement to show love. Because sometimes you're going to be suffering and you need to step out and encourage someone who's suffering or in sorrow. So we have, we see what considering is, and we see what provoking or poking someone is to love and good works. To love and good works. And I pray that we will do that. I want to just encourage you to think, man, is there someone here I can encourage today? Because if, let's go to this next verse right here. 25. Not neglecting to meet together as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As you see the day drawing near. So I don't think this verse would do justice, because a lot of times I hear this verse shared about, hey, you have to come to church or you're neglecting a body of believers. And I think that is true. But I don't think that does justice to the verse and the context that we're talking about. Because it's not just a service that you go to once a week that is talking about. Because it is, I would say, impossible to know someone, to be able to provoke them to good works, if you just talk to them once a week and said, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Did you catch the game this week? Yeah, I caught the game. And that's it. Right? You're not going to be able to provoke someone to good works that way. You have to consider them. You have to know them. And you can't neglect the meeting together, the fellowship. And that might not look like just coming on Sunday. But we have other events, and I know we have people who have who love to bring people in and love on them. Actually, that's one of the thank yous and the blessings that I can say, that when me and my wife moved here, we had people say, hey, come over for dinner. Hey, come over and get to know us and let us get to know you, so that they could encourage us, right? They did that for us. And I think this is one of the strengths of this church, that we love each other enough to invite people into our lives. And I would say, continue to do that. Don't neglect it. Don't fall away. Because in this passage, there are people who they're holding onto this rope and they feel like letting go. They need not to neglect the body of believers. Don't let go. But they also need someone to pull them back up. If you will know each other, if you will spend life together, if you will consider someone and dwell with them and live life together, you will end up encouraging them and saving them from wavering from the faith. And I would ask, do you know the person on your pew? Do you know everybody on your pew? Do you know maybe not the whole room, but you know most of the room? Have you considered them? Have you invested in their life? If you don't, I encourage you to do that. Get to know the people of this church. Let them love on you and encourage you, and love on others and encourage them. This is a great verse. And a lot of this verse that this passage, we have talked about our individual roles when it comes to holding on, staying fast. But in reality, this passage is not, and this book was not written to one person. It was not written to a Hebrew, but it was written to the Hebrews, right? This passage is not meant for just you, but it's meant for all of us together. I think it would come across as a better picture if we look at our picture again that I portrayed for you at the beginning. Remember that climbing picture I had? When you're climbing on the mountain, and you're just holding on and you're anchored in, and you're trying to get up this mountain. Well, that's a good picture. And I think sometimes we're at that point where we're just by ourselves and we are just hanging on. But I think a better picture to put in our mind is one where you have a team of climbers. And you're not just tied into the anchor, but you're tied into the person in front of you and behind you. That way, if someone starts to fall behind you, you can grab them, right? You can help them. And that's the picture we need to think. Because there are times when we are going to fall down and we need someone to grab hold of us, right? We need together to embrace the saving grace of God. And we need together to hold fast to the hope of God. And we need together to draw near to God. And we need together to consider how to encourage and push each other on to love and good works. Because there's going to be times when people want to fall away. And it's going to happen to every one of us. There's going to be times where you're just going to want to leave the church, leave the things of God, just because either somebody hurt you, you're hurt and no one's noticing, right? You're crushed, or you did something, and you're going to want to leave. You're going to want to let the current take you wherever it wants. And I encourage you, do this together. Hold on together. The best way, your best chance, look at the end of Hebrews 25, do it more as you see the day drawing near. The best way for you to achieve the goal, to get to the top of the mountain, to have a successful ministry, and to have a life that is obedient and godly to God, is when you do life together with people that have the same purpose. Right? Let me say that again. The best way to reach your goal, to have success in ministry, to live an obedient life in God, is for you to do it alongside people that are headed the same direction. Right? Headed the same direction. That's what you have here. That's why we have the church. And that is how we can survive and get to the end when we're facing struggles, when we do this together. So we had one foundation and three applications, and I want to end us with one action today. So I'll have Ray come up for us and play some music. I want to end us on one action. So today I want to challenge you. Like we saw, it's not an individual ride, right? We're not walking with God just by ourselves, but we're walking with people. And I want us to experience that today. So I want us to think, well, how can we do this? Well, in a minute, I'm going to encourage you. I'm not going to make you. If you don't feel like doing it, you don't have to. But I'm encourage you to get together with a couple people, maybe one, two, three, or four. Get together with a couple people and pray together. And pray together. You might be someone who says, I have never embraced the salvation of God, and I need to do that today. Would you pray with me? Do that together. You might be someone who says, I have been far from God, and I need to be close to God. Would you pray for me? Would you pray with me? You might be someone who is suffering and ready to let go of the rope and fall because you have no hope. You might need to ask someone to pray for you and to love on you. And the last one, consider others. There might be someone here that you don't know. That you don't know. And today might be the day where you can just ask them, hey, my name is Mark. What's your name? What can I pray for you about? And just start considering each other. And I'm going to encourage you, when you do pray with each other today, if you choose to do that, and I hope you do, that you pray out loud with each other. And you pray sincerely with each other. So I'm going to challenge you guys to do that, to pray with each other, whether it's someone needs to embrace God as their Savior and Lord, if they need to draw near to God, hold fast to hope, or consider others. I want to challenge you guys to do that. And after you guys do that and we pray for a little bit, then I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to just close this in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed for the day. So I want to encourage you right now, if you have someone on your heart that you know you need to encourage because you consider them, go to that person. But right now, get in groups and just start praying for each other. Pray for one of those things. Or maybe you need someone to pray for you. Just grab hold of them and say, hey, will you pray for me? So go ahead and start doing that, and I will close us in prayer in a little bit. God, thank you for your unending love. God, thank you that you are faithful, and you didn't just save me, but you saved these wonderful believers. And God, I pray that we would bind to each other, that we would make it to the end. God, I pray that you would help us draw near to you and to know you. God, I pray that you would help us hold on to the hope that's set before us. God, I pray you give us just direction to encourage others so that they can make it alongside with us. God, I just pray that you would fill us up and send us out. God, we love you and we thank you for what you're doing. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.